Indiana closing a gap big time between the have and have-nots when it comes to access to the internet. How $1 billion in public-private money is connecting Hoosiers to the web. Plus,
the NFL Combine is in town this weekend, and IU Health is a major piece of the game plan. We'll have the details in the Business of Health.
And Hoosier-grown food gaining traction on the international stage. Indiana's global ag strategy and what it means for the state's farmers. Inside Indiana Business is next.
Indiana's business news leader. This is IBJ Media's Inside Indiana Business with Gary Dick. Presented by Elevate Ventures and Indiana University.
Hello and welcome to Inside Indiana Business. I'm Gary Dick. High-speed internet access, it is far more than a connection to news, information, and social content. Increasingly, it's a critical link to education, employment, and healthcare, and the fuel for innovation and new business creation. And while Indiana continues to battle the digital divide, the gap between those who have and don't have broadband access, well, there are significant signs of progress. Case in point, nearly $1.5 billion in state and federal funds being deployed to help connect the estimated 150,000 unserved or underserved Hoosier addresses. Private sector companies also getting engaged. AT&T in the midst of fiber projects in 12 Hoosier communities and regions, all part of what some are calling a once-in-a-generation opportunity.
If you're on the wrong side of the divide, your quality of life is impacted.
Once considered a luxury, broadband access is now viewed by many as a necessity, and there are signs that Indiana is moving the needle when it comes to connectivity. According to the Indiana Broadband Office, there were around 300,000 unserved or underserved addresses in Indiana 3 years ago. Today, that number is closer to 150,000. Industry observers point to the state's next-level broadband connections and Indiana Connectivity Program, created 6 years ago, with unleashing more than $600 million in federal, state, and private funds. And with the state preparing to dole out nearly $900 million in federal funds from the Infrastructure and Jobs Act of 2021, Purdue's Robert Gallardo calls it a tipping point.
The number has been going down. There's been a lot of investment from the state. Then came COVID, ARPA. You know, there's a multiple kind of, it's a crowded source, a crowded landscape, actually. I think we're moving the needle.
Private sector companies are active players. AT&T has inked 12 partnerships around the state to expand fiber broadband, the largest, a $40 million project in Vanderburgh County.
And we've run now fiber optics directly to every home and farm in the unincorporated Vanderburgh County. It's about 20,000 locations. We had a press conference down there towards the end of November at Randy Crone's farm, who's the head of the Indiana Farm Bureau, and It's life-changing. All of the kinds of things that you and your listeners have talked about for years about precision agriculture and injecting new technology into Indiana's farms, it's becoming a reality.
Swords believes the broadband build-out, which will likely take 4 to 5 years, could be transformational for the Indiana economy.
Obviously, in Indiana, we care about agriculture, transportation, and manufacturing. And we know that the physical economy is ripe for transformation, ripe for additional efficiencies and growth, and that's our sweet spot. But with this last piece of last mile connectivity, our hope is that it's the missing ingredient to help propel Indiana's economy farther, faster.
Connectivity continuing to be a big issue in Indiana. Well, more on tech in the state, this time in the northwest portion of Indiana. New life could be coming to the old abandoned Franciscan Health Hospital in Hammond. Quantum Corridor, an Indianapolis-based company established by Lake County native Tom Dockich, looking to partner with Purdue Northwest to turn the former hospital into a high-tech computing, a hub there, which would make Hammond one of the few places in the country with access to quantum computing. Trading basketball shoes for cleats, what the NFL Combine means for Indianapolis, and how Hoosier Healthcare plays into that game plan.
No other city in the world can say they've hosted an NBA premier event and an NFL premier event within a week of each other.
Well, just a week after hosting the best basketball players on the planet for NBA All-Star Weekend, Indianapolis shifting its game plan to showcase the next generation of professional football players. The city nailing down the NFL Combine through 2025. It's a four-day event that pumps between $9 and $10 million into the local economy, with a big emphasis this year on the fan experience.
For the Combine, we're really focused on the fan-facing element on the south side of Lucas Oil Stadium. Their charge to us is grow that event, grow it in a meaningful way like the draft and the Pro Bowl and the Super Bowl. And so we're fixated on making sure visitors race into Indy and set up and have that fan experience.
Well, making sure players are in shape for this weekend's workouts is a bit of a medical marvel. And leaders say it's a major reason why Indianapolis has hosted the Combine since the Hoosier Dome days, all the way back in 1987. Business of Health reporter Kylie Valletta joins us now from IU Health Methodist Hospital. Kylie.
Thanks, Gary. About 350 NFL hopefuls are hitting the field this weekend as part of the Combine, but not until they first clear a heart screening. And that means a doctor here at IU Health is a major player off the field.
It's absolutely unique. There's nothing like this.
Dating back to the first Indianapolis Combine in 1987, doctors from Methodist have been on the sidelines. IU Health cardiologist Dr. Richard Kovacs says the football drills could be recreated at any stadium.
We know that other cities have put in bids for the Combine, but the medical checks and what goes on behind the scenes and the information that's provided to the league requires very complex testing, accurate clinical judgment, and a big coordinated team to do this. And good luck if another city can pull it off.
Team doctors will do a physical exam, but IU Health is in charge of all cardiac testing. Equipment is moved to Lucas Oil Stadium to perform an ECG on site for every single player.
It's anxiety provoking for them because they're coming and they're having these medical checks, and these medical checks could disqualify them.
Players who have an abnormal ECG or are flagged as higher risk will be sent to IU Health Methodist Hospital for extra screening.
It's a logistical challenge, and it's one of the reasons why the Combine's here, because the medical checks can be provided so efficiently by IU Health.
While non-athletes have the same heart issues that the screenings might uncover, it's the high level of competition that elevates players' risk.
The most important thing is that we understand scientifically which athletes are most at risk for having a cardiac event.
But he also understands their passion. Dr. Kovacs played football at the University of Chicago.
This is a sport that they love, and I can appreciate why they love the sport. I love the sport.
Head coach of about 20 on IU Health's roster this weekend.
It isn't always fun to interact with agents, but fun is probably the best word to describe it.
IU Health is also part of the game plan beyond cardiovascular care. The NFL brings its own doctors, but if an athlete needs additional care, that will be provided by the IU Health Emergency Department. Gary, back to you.
All right, Kylie, thank you. Well, another group of elite athletes serving it up in Indiana, professional women's volleyball players.
Pro Volleyball Federation is real pro volleyball.
The Indy Ignite, Indiana's new professional women's volleyball team, announcing it will play at the new 8,500-seat, $170 million Fishers Event Center that's under construction. Not only will the team be calling the new arena home, they're not the only team there. Minor league hockey's Indy Fuel, indoor football's Fishers Freight, also planning to compete at that facility. Well, big job cuts coming in the world of Indiana-based animal health. Elanco announcing it will cut about 420 jobs. The company employs more than 9,000 people worldwide, including about 1,000 in Indiana. Elanco says it will shift resources from its farm animal operations to concentrate on its pet health care sector. Elanco is building its new global headquarters at the old GM stamping plant site along the White River just west of downtown Indianapolis. and a positive outlook for residential construction. The Indianapolis home building industry off to a really fast start in 2024. Applications for new home construction surging 77% in January versus the same month last year. Hamilton, Marion, and Johnson County seeing the biggest increases. Coming up next, one of the biggest names in frozen seafood dropping anchor in Indiana. What the company's $89 million investment in a new production facility means for jobs and the economy in Boone County. And in this week's IBJ, Eli Lilly and Company, its soaring stock, what it means to the bottom line for thousands of Lilly employees.
At PNC Bank, we're committed to making a difference in the lives of our customers and communities by helping them move forward financially. As a Main Street bank, we try to do right by our customers with every encounter. Our local teams offer personalized financial advice to help guide you in making the best decision. We're proud to be part of your community. PNC Bank. See how we can make a difference for you at PNC.com. Copyright 2022, the PNC Financial Services Group, Inc., all rights reserved.
Well, some unsettling news this week out of Northeast Indiana. Five-term Fort Wayne Mayor Tom Henry announcing he is in for a major health battle.
It is late stage stomach cancer. My initial scans have shown that the cancer is currently spreading through my lymph nodes and to other organs in my body. Because of that, my prognosis is not good.
We've certainly spoken with Mayor Henry on our show many times over the years, showcasing Fort Wayne's tremendous growth under his leadership, from investing billions of dollars in riverfront development in Fort Wayne's downtown business district to a recent business coup, the city landing a new Facebook $800 million data center.
Here's what's making news around Indiana, brought to you by the Indiana Association of Realtors, Indiana's 21,000 realtors, the neighbors you know, the experts you can count on.
Well, we begin with a well-known longtime fish producer casting its line in Boone County, Gorton Seafood, planning to build an $89 million plant in Lebanon, creating more than 160 new jobs. Construction expected to start next month. Gorton's opened its first fishery 175 years ago in Massachusetts and was the first company to invent modern frozen seafood. Fish sticks, anybody? Well, a business staple in Tippecanoe County is also growing in a big way. Construction equipment maker Caterpillar planning a $725 million expansion to its large engine center in Lafayette. The majority of the investment going toward new machinery and on-site rail infrastructure. The expansion will create 100 new jobs. A much different job picture unfolding in Southwest Indiana. Terre Haute-based Hallador Energy planning to shut down two of its coal mines in the state, putting over 100 people out of work. The affected mines are in Knox and Pike counties. The closures leave Hallador with just two underground mining operations left in Indiana. Cummins making big moves with two of its office buildings in downtown Columbus. The company planning to sell the Irwin and Cummins Sears buildings, which have sat vacant for about a year and a half. The Republic newspaper in Columbus reporting the city is eyeing the Sears building to possibly turn it into a hotel conference center. And Crane Naval, one of two Indiana areas targeted for a first-of-its-kind military project. The American Center for Manufacturing Innovation announcing it will build two munitions campuses at Crane and a yet-to-be-determined location in Indianapolis. The public-private partnership involves the development of industrial property to support innovation in the munitions-related sector.
Time now for our Eye on Education, brought to you by PNC Bank.
Goodwill of Central and Southern Indiana expanding its model to help adults get their high school diplomas. The Excel Center Network receiving $4 million in grants to more than double the number of schools offering tuition-free education. Excel operates in 41 schools in 9 states and Washington, D.C., but plans to expand to 85 schools within the next 6 years. The Excel Center launched in 2010 and not only offers high school education for adults, but also child care and college credits, all at no cost. And Syracuse-based outdoor furniture maker Pollywood giving high school students a chance to dip their toes into potential advanced manufacturing careers. The Polywood Academy is a two-year program for students in five northern Indiana school districts to get technical training and a paid internship in advanced manufacturing. The program is being offered through Pathways CTE Cooperative. Well, a big week in Indiana education. Gary, back to you.
A big week indeed. Thanks, Mary Rachel, very much. Well, a Central Indiana business pioneer with an eye and a passion for what he does, Thomas P. Miller started his two-person consulting firm in Indianapolis back in 1989, growing it into a team of 50 working in more than 40 states. He talked about the challenges of preparing Hoosiers for jobs in Indiana's new economy.
Irrespective of whether you're college-bound or non-college-bound, you need to have a set of certificates, credentials, that are post-secondary, post the high school years. So trying to find that right balance around the state, I think, is certainly doable, but no small challenge.
Much more with Tom Miller, his new role now with the firm, and what's next on the Business and Beyond podcast presented by PNC. Coming up next, Hoosier farmers making a big impact on agriculture around the globe. Indiana's role in food security from Cuba to Indonesia. That's when we come back.
IBJ is on the lookout for Hoosier companies that are on fire. Nominations now being accepted for Fast 25, IBJ's exclusive list of the fastest growing companies in Central Indiana. Submit your nomination by March 4th, IBJ.com/nomination.
Well, the numbers are in for shipping in Indiana in 2023, and it was a huge year. Indiana's three ports shipped some 12.6 million tons of goods last year, the second highest in its 63-year history. The port of Mount Vernon in southwest Indiana experienced a nearly 80% jump in coal exports.
Indiana has a robust maritime economy. Our economy ranks 12th in the nation in waterborne shipping, which is pretty hard to fathom for a state that many people think is landlocked, and we're so far from an ocean.
Well, some of those barges on Indiana waterways are responsible for transporting Hoosier crops all over the globe, and in a big way. This is an important time of year for Indiana's $35 billion agriculture sector. As we struggle to get through these last few weeks of winter, Hoosier farmers are very busy gearing up for planting season in a little more than a month. Indiana farmers will be facing some potential headwinds this year in the form of inflation and increased input costs. Meantime, state ag leaders continue to look globally for new markets for Indiana ag products, including Cuba. Indiana State Department of Agriculture Director Don Lamb was on a recent trade mission to Cuba, a trip that proved to be eye-opening.
That was my first experience to be in a socialist country like that. And just to see that the people are really somewhat conditioned to live in that environment, you know, even if today they decided to turn over their country to a capitalist country, it would be really hard because you'd have to change a lot of mindset, and you'd have people that are not used to thinking that way. So we would love to see a change there, but it's not going to happen quickly, and it probably wouldn't even be very healthy if it happened really quickly. And so the idea, when we visited a store where you take a ration book, you know, every person in that country takes the ration book. It doesn't matter what income level you're at. There are certain products that you only get from a government supplied store. And so, and you're assigned a certain store to go to get those rations. And we Americans don't don't want to be told what to do. We don't want to be told what to drive. We don't want to, we're very independent. So the idea that the people there are very used to that system where here's how you get your food and here's how it works is just such a tough thing to see. And in general, the people are somewhat content where they're at and what's happening. But you also know that, you know, the ration right now for eggs is 5 eggs per person per month.
Wow.
So we think, you know, when you talk about being kind of discouraging, you know, when we think about the way we're able to live here and what we're able to do, and then what if we were limited to 5 eggs per month? It's a life changer, and they just live a different lifestyle than we're blessed to live right here.
Boone County farmer Don Lamb says expanding global markets, workforce, and economic development will all be areas of focus in the year ahead. And that's all the time we have for this edition of Inside Indiana Business as we get closer to spring. We'll bid you farewell for one more week. Thanks for joining us. I'm Gary Dick. Go out and make it a successful week.
Thank you for listening to the Inside Indiana Business Television podcast. Remember, you can get the latest business news from every corner of the state at insideindianabusiness.com. I'm Gary Dick. Go out and make it a successful week.